Chris Gibson, tell me about the Farm Bill. How it's making its way through the Congress.
Well, actually, it's out of the Ag Committee. I'm proud to say that. Bipartisan vote, 35 to 11. Our office, we had a large hand, actually, in helping shape it. And proud of a lot of the measures that are in the Farm Bill. We're going to get it done this year. You know, a lot of pressure, bipartisan pressure brought to bear on our leadership. We counted noses before we left in September, and I think we're going to have a very solid center that will be able to pass the bill. I'd like to talk to you about a few of the provisions. First of all, dairy. You know, our dairy farmers right now are under tremendous pressure. Their price that they're getting for the hundredweight doesn't even cover their cost of production right now, and that's in part because of the drought this past summer and the grains, what the cost for them. So what we're doing in the Farm Bill is we have a margin insurance program that you can voluntarily enter, and the first $4 coverage per hundredweight is at no cost to dairy. So as I mentioned moments ago, dairy's not even getting the cost of production covered. By voluntarily entering the program, they'll get at least $4 per hundredweight coverage, and then they can buy up. You can buy up to as much as $8 per hundredweight. So that's important for dairy security.
Who pays for that?
Well, that margin is a part of the monies that we appropriate for that insurance program.
So in order to keep farmers alive, the government has to kick something in because otherwise they go out of business.
Well, ideally, the margin insurance won't be necessary. But in moments like now, it is. So, you know, we've got these the dynamics of the rising costs of inputs are such that they do need assistance at the moment. But we envision also a flourishing sector, dairy sector, so that this requirement would not always be in place. But it's a safety net there to make sure that our dairy farmers have it in moments like now.
Well, it sounds reasonable. I want to ask you something, Chris Gibson, and that is, what about the middlemen? You talk to a farmer and they'll tell you how they're getting screwed, how the middlemen are making the money. Is there any way we can put pressure to have a more equitable system?
Well, I think there is more we can be doing. I think the first thing we need to do is pass this Farm Bill because, you know, every day matters. We've got farmers right now that are going into their savings to deal with the fact that they can't cover the cost of inputs. So let's get the Farm Bill passed, which provides the margin, and then I think we can do more in terms of price discovery, and that is taking a look at what cost for a gallon of milk and then tracing it all the way back and you see just a fraction that goes to our producers, our dairy farmers. So I think there's more that can be done there in terms of price discovery. But let me talk to you about some other provisions too, because I'm excited to tell you that, you know, with our farmers, we're certainly, I'm biased, but I think we got the smartest, the hardest working farmers in the world. Their issue is profitability. And that's why, you know, here in the upstate region, I work on driving their overhead down by supporting with photovoltaics, letters of support there so they can drive their energy costs down.
Anybody doing it yet, Chris?
Yes. Oh, we have a large number of farmers actually doing this all throughout our region.
So they have solar panels.
Absolutely.
on their land?
Solar, and also in some cases, digesters. So they're using...
What's a digester? I'm sorry.
Well, basically the natural process that happens with manure.
Yeah.
And then we get energy from that. So these are two renewable programs that help our farmers drive down their overhead costs. And I mentioned that the help they need is with profitability. Partly this is margin. Partly this is incentives on energy. And then also we team up. We have a conservation program that's also vitally important. It's the Farmer Rancher Protection Program. And I do this with Ned Sullivan and others, but we have farmers who make a pledge not to develop on their land. And for that, an easement, a grant is conveyed, and that helps the profitability of farmers. But what I wanted to tell you is, in addition to profitability being an issue, the other issue is age. The average age of a farmer in New York State is 57.
Well,
so this is a national security issue,
and it's
too.
A hard, hard life.
It is a hard life. They work 7 days a week, and then they work in the driving rain and the cold and in the extreme heat. So, but 57, so we have to inspire a whole new generation to come to the farm. Our office, this was constituent-driven legislation because we had leaders from throughout our region that came to me with ideas Lindsay and Ben Shute, they're leaders in the Young Farmers Coalition. We helped enhance the Beginning Farmers Program. We're talking about grant programs for beginning farmers. And by the way, the definition for a beginning farmer is any farmer who has not farmed 10 consecutive years. So there's a robust definition there that helps us get younger farmers roots in the ground, if you will, when it comes to their own profitability. Not just grants, but actually loan programs. One thing in particular that Lindsay wanted us to do was a micro-loan program. That's like a $30,000, different from the combines and the major pieces of equipment. But a lot of our organic and younger and beginning farmers need some assistance for seed and just getting some of those costs, getting access to credit for that. So we did this in the Farm Bill. Also for their insurance programs, for the first 5 years, the beginning farmers would get a discount, 10% discount. So, you know, we've got a number of these provisions that are going to help beginning farmers. We also have provisions in there that help farm to school. I did this with a couple of colleagues, Shelley Pingree from Maine and Peter Welch from Vermont. And what this does is this ties together, you know, there are monies now, commodities money that goes to schools, most of which go towards processed food, canned food. And what this provision says is that localities in this pilot, which will be 5 states, including us, would be authorized to use those monies to start a relationship with a farm. This would be tied into like a CSA type of concept. And I see this not only helping nutrition, but also instruction and inculcation, because teachers and students could enter a relationship with a farm, knowing that they're going to be purchasing those goods, those fruits and vegetables. They can actually go out in the as they prepare the fields, and then maybe go once as they're maintaining the fields. And then when harvest comes, the students can go out to the fields, so they have a sense of connectedness with the farm.
We're hoping sort of 4-H-ish.
And also, we have Future Farmers of America programs throughout upstate New York. I would like to see them proliferate to a greater degree, but we do have them. But the intent is to inspire a new generation to take up the calling of farming. We have to do this. We got to inspire a new generation.
I want to ask you a question. We only got 2 minutes left, Chris, but it took an awful long time to get this bill out of committee. You report that it's bipartisan. That's a pretty good example. Was it the presidential election that got in the way?
No. You know, there is some opposition to the farm bill on the far left and the far right. It had to do with the food stamps part of the bill. But when you look at 5 years ago, the last time there was a farm bill, that amount of investment we made towards the food was $450 billion. This one is $756 billion.
Wow.
There were some program integrity measures that were included.
Oh, I see.
So, for example, in the Midwest this past summer, there was a woman who had won the lottery and then went down and went to claim food stamps. And because of the way the laws are written, she was able to continue to get food stamps. So we took some program integrity steps in the bill. Now, beyond that, there were some differences between the Senate and the House. The House took some steeper steps. I voted for the Senate substitute that would have had not as steep cuts in this program. So there's going to be some conferencing that needs to be done. But ultimately, when it came out of committee, I mentioned 35 to 11. Mm. The 11 that voted no was about split in half between Democrats who thought there were too steep cuts and Republicans who thought there weren't enough cuts to the SNAP program. And then there was 35 of us, including those in the region. By the way, Peter Welch voted for the bill along with myself, and so did Bill Owens. So the Northeast, because we were able to get a good number of provisions that help with family farms, we felt it was important to advance the bill to the floor. And I believe we're going to advance this bill on the floor in November and conference it, and the president will get it before the end of the year.
Good luck. Chris Gibson is running for Congress in New York's 20th district, now the new 19th district, and he's been in office since 2011. Can't wait to talk to you again, Chris.
Thank you, Alan. Good to be with you. God bless.